Brilliant. Do keep that passage open. And let me pray as we come again to God's word. Father God, as we come now to... Amen. Well, have you ever been in a situation where you know in your head the best thing to do, but you actually do something else? For example, have you ever woken up on a work day and pressed the snooze button too many times? Your mind says, get up, but your heart says, sleep. Or maybe it happens when you're praying. You know in your mind that it's a privilege to speak to your Heavenly Father, and you're a bit of an idiot if you try and start the day without asking for his help. But your heart says, oh, I've got so much to do. I must get on. I haven't got time. Keeping going as a Christian and growing as a Christian has got to be more than just what we've got in our heads. It's got to be more than about just what's in our minds. Wisdom, that's going God's way in tricky situations. It's about more than just knowing the right thing. Wisdom starts in the mind, but our hearts have to choose to go God's way. And for that, we need to train them. We need to train them to love God's way. Our Bible passage, the one that Jeanette kindly just read for us, is addressed like a father addressing a son. He's saying, as you grow up, son, I want you to grow in wisdom. And so as we work through this passage, I want us to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father addressing us and encouraging us to grow in wisdom. But as we go through some quite practical things, please don't forget what we saw in the children's talk earlier. It's really foundational. Wisdom isn't something we do on our own. It's not even something we're very good at if we're just given instructions. It's something that we do as we're joined to Jesus by faith, something that he strengthens us to do by his Spirit. So all of these things are to be done in dependence on him. So, two suggestions for how we're going to train our hearts to go God's way. Number one, rely on your family. In verse 24, the father says to his son, the father of a righteous man has great joy. Now, as a son, you could take that comment two ways, couldn't you? If you're basically walking quite a wise life, then it's an encouragement. I, your father, delight in you because you walk in righteousness. That's great. Or, if you know that you're basically walking a foolish life, it's a bit of a rebuke. See, fathers of righteous sons delight in them, but me, I've got you. Either way, whether it's an encouragement or a rebuke, for the son to have in mind how his behavior affects his family, and in particular his father, it's a powerful steer to get his heart back on, or to keep it on, the way of wisdom. Now, our Heavenly Father, as God, doesn't change. He's never surprised or overwhelmed by our folly, thankfully. He doesn't depend on our righteous service to achieve his purposes. But, graciously, we have a Heavenly Father who has condescended to engage us in genuine relationship. He's like a real father to us. He really relates to us. So that when we do foolish things, it saddens him. And when by his grace we walk in wisdom, he delights in us. That's a really big encouragement. It's a really good steer to have in mind to help you and to keep your heart choosing the right way. Will you teach your heart, train your heart to look up to your Heavenly Father and be steered by his approval? When you have to slog through that mundane and thankless task at home, will you be able to speak to your heart and say, even if no one else sees this, my Father in heaven delights in my obedience, and that's really good enough for me? There's quite a bit in verses 15 and 16 and 22 to 25. You can see there's a lot about family. And we can guard our hearts, not just by looking to our Heavenly Father, but also by relying on human family around us, whether that's at church or at home. Being part of a close family at church or at home and investing in that family is a wonderful guard on our wandering hearts. It's a thing worth committing to. Children and teenagers, I think there's only about two of you, so I'm talking to you. Children and teenagers, do you treasure the family that God's given to you? God's put you in a really good place for learning wisdom. You might think that to grow up, what you need is to get away from your parents. And that's not true. The time will come for that. But foolish adults, generally, they quite often lack wisdom because they either didn't have or they didn't take the opportunity to learn from wise parents. So you have that opportunity. So treasure it and make the most of it. And as for all the rest of us, it's great news that whatever kind of home life we had growing up, in Christ we have both a perfect Heavenly Father and a church family, and we can turn to both of them as we want to grow in wisdom. So, how to train our hearts, number one, rely on your family. How to train our hearts, number two, look ahead. In our passage, verses 20 and 21 are a warning against an overindulgent lifestyle that doesn't plan for the future and so ends in ruin. Now, we could think about how a cycle of good food and good drink and good parties could distract someone from thinking about their exams. But if that's a danger you face, your parents probably bang on about it all the time. So we don't need to work on that too much. As adults, we have our own distractions, don't we? We have our things that we fill our days and nights with. Things that keep us busy, or maybe things that keep us entertained. Things that so fill our lives that they can distract us from the bigger picture. And here's the thing. When we're busy, busy, busy thinking about short-term things, whether they're the party next week or the house extension next year, verse 17 can become really hard for us. Verse 17 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners." But if the horizon of our vision is only a few weeks or a few years away, we're going to struggle. Because it often looks like, on that timescale, that other people have it better. People who don't spend time coming to church, who don't give to the ministry at church, they often look better off if we only think in the short term. It's only when we take time to lift our eyes up out of our busyness or away from the entertainment that we use so much, and we look ahead to our destination, that we're able to protect our hearts from envy. That's why the promise of verse 18 is really powerful and worth coming back to. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. So do you regularly take time out of your busyness to lift your eyes up and ahead? Just really practically, okay? If you go into the office on Friday, or you're meeting up with some non-Christian friends on Friday, and the last time that you thought about the hope you have in Christ was last Sunday, well, your heart's going to be vulnerable to envying those around you. But if we regularly think about and regularly give thanks for the certain hope that we have in Christ as Christians, the hope of eternal life with God that we were thinking about in the children's talk, our hearts are going to be guarded from envy and bitterness. Our Heavenly Father wants us to keep on training our hearts to love his ways so that we'll not just know the right thing to do, but we'll want to choose it. Well, as we ask for God's help to train our hearts, let's be taking his advice seriously, relying on our family and reminding ourselves of the hope we have in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have set each of us within your family. Thank you that we can call you Father and that you delight in our obedience. Thank you that you've given us in Christ a certain hope of eternal life with you. Please would you train our hearts to love your ways by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing a hymn now.